It's a grim and dreadful scene that Heather read in our scripture lesson and that Pastor Ron and our children so greatly and uniquely recreated for us this morning. Paul and Silas are in jail. And not just that they're in jail, but listen to what Luke says led them up to being in jail. Pretty dreadful stuff. They've been attacked by the crowd. They've been stripped of their clothing. They have been beaten, not just beaten with fists, bad as that would be, but beaten with rods. Luke tells us it was a severe flogging. They've been thrown into jail. Now get this, the innermost cell of the jail, the one you can't possibly get out of, the one that's the most secure, and their feet are in chains. And as the story takes place, it's midnight. It's the dark of the night. And so there they are, Paul and Silas. They've been beaten physically and psychologically. There they are. They're hurting. They're in pain. They're behind bars. Their feet in chains. They are languishing away. They're disillusioned. They're hopeless. They're absolutely hopeless. Oh, no, they're not. As you now know, what are they doing? They're singing hymns. At midnight in prison, they are singing hymns, and the other prisoners and the jailer are listening to them. See, the amazing thing is that Paul and Silas are free. Even though they're behind bars, they have a freedom of the spirit, a freedom that this world cannot give. And this world cannot take away. Listen to the words of an Elizabethan poet, Richard Lovelace, writing to Althea from prison. Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. If I have freedom in my love and in my soul am free, angels alone that soar above enjoy such liberty. Yeah, the truth is it's not Paul and Silas that need to be set free. It's the jailer that needs to be set free. Oh, he's free to go, walk out of the jail anytime he wants to, but he is in bondage to a greater captivity. He's in bondage to that captivity of sin and of death, that eternal bondage, the bondage of death that enslaves him and enslaves us all. All enslaved by that eternal bondage. It's the jailer and us that need to be set free. And then it happened. An earthquake. Now, earthquakes are not uncommon in that part of the world. They happen from time to time. This earthquake must be understood as the mighty act of God, God's mighty act of deliverance and salvation to set people free. The earthquake, the walls of the jail begin to shake. There's a shaking of the foundation. The doors come crashing down. The chains are broken. And Paul and Silas are free. They're free to go. And there's an interesting little sidelight in the gospel story about the jailer, isn't there? I mean, think of the details of this. You don't make this stuff up. This is the way it happened. The jailer is about to commit suicide. He's responsible for these prisoners. They escape. He's accountable. He's going to be put to death and probably in a very horrible way. So you can picture him there with his sword in his hand and he's about to fall on it or take his own life. And Paul and Silas cry out, "Wait, don't hurt yourself. It's okay. It's cool. It's going to be all right." And Paul and Silas minister to the jailer. And right then and there, the jailer becomes a Christian and he's baptized. And at the end of the story, this is rich, the end of the story, the jailer is ministering to the prisoners, binding their wounds. That's a sign of that new transforming life in Christ when you're set free from the power of sin and death and you're free to act with compassion and justice and love and mercy, a freedom that comes to the jailer too. You see, it's amazing that Even the jailer can be changed by the singers of hymns. The people in our prison ministry here in the church will tell you that prisoners can be changed by the singers of hymns. Yes, and this whole world can be changed and transformed by the singers of hymns. What a story. What a great story in the scripture. But do not assume for even a moment that this is a fairy tale from 2,000 years ago. It's not. This is real. This is real. This is our story. Or at least it can be our story. It can be your story this day. You can be set free this very day. You can be set free from what is holding you in, from whatever prison you're in. You can be set free from bitterness and anger and holding that grudge and wanting to get even with somebody. You know, that ugly, nasty thing that's just gnawing away inside of you to get that son of a gun back from what he did. And you can let it go. You can get rid of that. You can be set free from that. You can be set free from worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear. Worry about what's happening in the stock market. And you don't even want to know these past 2 weeks, but it's been happening. Set free from fear that your money's going to run out before you retire or after you retire. Free from all that worry just by looking to the kingdom of God and God's righteousness and trusting the Lord's going to provide. All these other things will be yours as well. You can be free from prejudice and bigotry. And let's be honest, all of us have some of that, don't we? Some prejudice against people of a different color, or maybe of a different religion, or maybe of a different language. We all have some of that. Maybe some prejudice against people who think differently politically. That's my sin. I think of people who are in the opposite end of the political spectrum, and I think to myself, those idiots, how can they think that? And if I just realized, well, they have something to bring to the table. And if we could just sit down and talk it through, maybe we could find a solution to the problems. Wouldn't that be a radical idea to have people actually sit down and talk it through and find a solution? You can be set free. You can be set free from the power of sin and death, and it's hanging over all of us, is it not? Every one of us is facing death. Every one of us is going to die. And we can be set free from that eternal power, that dominion, that reigning power of sin and death. We can be set free because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in him, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in him shall never die. Think what a great thing it would be if just all of a sudden your financial debts were wiped away. You know, the mortgage on the house, the car payments, all that credit card bill you've run up. If all of that could just suddenly disappear, that would be great news, wouldn't it? Well, there's even a greater freedom this morning, a freedom from the powers of sin and death that can be yours, for you can find a freedom from whatever prison you are in. For a few moments, just think what prison you might be in and how you can break out of it. And I'm going to suggest the way to break out of it is exactly what Paul and Silas did. Sing hymns. Sing hymns. You may be in the prison of fear. Prison of worry, just constant worry about family, about health, about money, about the situation in the world. And let's face it, it's worth worrying about, maybe getting you down. And what do you do in the face of that worry and that anxiety? Sing hymns. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. You may be in the prison of doubt. You just can't believe that all this stuff that Christianity talks about is just too good to be true. You may have the doubts that some people fall into, that you've got science over here and you've got religion over here, and science says one thing and religion says something else, and so science is right and religion is wrong, and you have all kinds of doubts. You don't need to think that way, friends. Science and religion are not enemies. Science and religion are allies. They are gifts of God to understand the marvels of this marvelous creation of God. They're allies. Don't ever be threatened by what science might be teaching. You can be set free from that prison of doubt. Sing hymns. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. You may be in the prison of grief. What a deep and dark and dank prison that is, the prison of grief. Perhaps someone in your family has died recently, or maybe even years ago, and you're still not past it because that grief can just keep hanging on and on and on, and you never get over it. But you can escape that prison of grief. Sing hymns. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, God faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Your best, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. You may be in the prison of despair. Things may seem that there is just no solution, there is no hope. God forbid. But there may be now, or maybe someone in the other services this morning, who has contemplated suicide. God forbid, but if that's the case, I'm speaking directly to you in the next few seconds. Suicide is not the answer. There is an answer. There's an answer to your problem, whatever it is. You haven't figured it out yet. That's okay. You can get help. There is an answer. There is a solution to every problem. You just have to figure out what it is. And if nothing else, sing hymns. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There's no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Years ago, when I was a boy, the music director in our church was a fellow we called Prof. Reisinger. Now, I don't think he was a real professor, but that's just what people called him, Prof. Reisinger. Prof. Reisinger's family and my family were close friends. My dad sang in the church choir, and he and Prof. were good friends. Reisinger's had a son about my age, and we were friends. We went to school together. We played ball together. We ran track together. We just were good buddies. So our families were very close. One day, Prof. Reisinger's wife died. It was great grief to the whole church. And as people tend to do, family and close friends came to the Reisinger home to express their condolences. And there, in the midst of overwhelming grief, the pain, that empty awfulness of grief, Prof. Reisinger stood up. He said, "Mary, my dear wife, has died. There's only one thing left to do. Sing hymns." And Prof. Reisinger went over to the piano that was there in the living room, and he sat down at the piano, and he began to play hymns. And in the midst of that grief, we sang hymns. Friends, believe me when I say that whatever prison you may be in this day, the prison of fear, the prison of worry, the prison of grief, the prison of doubt, the prison of anguish, the prison of uncertainty, whatever prison you may be in, there is a freedom. There is the glorious freedom of the children of God, a freedom that comes in Jesus Christ. And when you're free in Christ, there is nothing that can hold you in. Believe me when I say that whatever your condition, whatever prison you're in, there's only one thing left to do. Sing Him.